Good morning. Welcome to the Covenant Church of Thomaston. It's great to see all of you here today. We have a great Sunday filled with a lot of special skits and songs and events, so it's going to be really good. The couple of announcements we have. We have an 11:30 quarterly business meeting today. It'll be held right here in Sanctuary. The flowers this morning are from Liz, my handbook, in memory of Don. Due to a scheduling conflict, our family picnic is being postponed. There's a conflict with the congregational church. They're having a huge event over there, so that will be hopefully rescheduled later on. Crafty Pizza Night is Friday, July 1st. So you gotta. That's postponed too.
Because we're also canceling Crafty Friday this week as well. It's canceled for this week.
Okay, Peggy.
Peggy has COVID.
Peggy has COVID.
Oh, yeah, next Saturday night. Yeah, so that'll be another fundraiser, right? So the worship team and some of the kids from the Chug are going to, we're going to start off the evening with some songs from the past, and then we'll work our way through some worship songs into a prayer, and hope you all can attend. It'll be, that'll also be, we'll take an offering for it. Okay, you guys all ready?
Oh, Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone.
And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength.
And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
The Lord is our God, the Lord alone.
Please. Let us worship today the God who is, and who was, and who forever will be. The God of all creation, you brought Jesus, your crowning glory, into this world. You gave all in order to bring us back. You love your children, from oldest to the youngest, and all in between. You are our Redeemer King, forever for us. May we understand your infinite grace toward us and live to pass on that grace to others as we grow. We bring all our children to you to be blessed and touched by you, our Lord. Each has a purpose embedded in their lives. Help us, Lord, to worship you with all our being, to glorify you daily for your vision of life with you. Carry us in spirit and truth, and in truth before you, both now and forever. Amen. Join us in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power,
Proverbs 1:8-9. Hear, my children, your father's instruction, and do not reject your mother's teaching, for they are a fair garland for your head and pendants for your neck.
Kind to one another, to tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has for one another as as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be intimate and love and live in love as Christ loved us. And he gave himself for us in fragrant offering and suffered to God.
Matthew 19, verses 13 through 14. Then little children were being brought to him in order that he might pray, he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples spoke sternly to those who brought them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs."
As it was in Babylon.
is my pleasure, finally, since we usually do this in December, but here we are. But when I was a kid growing up, Children's Day was the day we got our Bibles, so it all works. Dylan, come forth, child. Samantha? And Brody. Thank you.
Shows to all of them, so she's not going to be teaching next year, so we just want to give a big thank you and present you with this. For you guys. Raise your hand if anybody has ever said to you, leave me alone. Anybody ever say that to you? Nobody? Nobody ever said leave me alone? Okay, yeah. Okay, raise your hand if you've ever heard a grown-up say, I'm too busy, not now. Yeah. How about, I don't have time, just later, okay? Did you hear those words too? How about words like, you're too noisy, would you just settle down? Yeah, we've all heard those words, right? Sometimes those words come from mom and dad, sometimes they come from a teacher, an older sibling, or anybody.
And mommy!
And mommy! Right, I was going to say that. So, I have a story for you guys, okay? I have a story for you guys just about that. And the story is called Jesus and the Children. And it says, the children loved to spend time with Jesus. But the disciples, you see these guys, they didn't understand that. They said, stop, do not bother Jesus. He is just too busy. Jesus told the disciples, let the children come to me. Do not keep them away. You must become like these little children if you want to enter God's kingdom. Then Jesus blessed the children. So isn't that good news? You will never hear those words like, leave me alone, or I'm too busy, or go away. You'll never hear those from Jesus. He loves you guys. And he wants the grown-ups to be more like you guys. Okay, so I'm going to bless you just like Jesus blesses you. Okay, let's bow our heads real quick. Dear Jesus, thank you this morning for these children. Thank you that you love them and you bless them. You care about every single one of their needs. You love everything about them, Lord, and you're helping them to grow up into the people that you want them to be. Lord, thank you that they're here in Sunday school and that they are learning about you. I pray, Lord, that you would increase their love for you. And we just thank you for them, God. And thank you for your great love. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. You guys can go back to your seats.
missing a couple of our trailblazers for various reasons. we wanted to just share what we have put together, and these guys are gonna fill in for their friends. So we started off talking about how God loves us, and then John and I went into a Proverbs that talks about a friend loves at all times. So we talked about what it's like to be a good friend. And so we spent some time there. And then the last thing we did the last couple of months at Trailblazers was we talked about why do we come to church? Why are we here? And we went all the way back to creation, and that's where the kids came up with the idea to do the timeline for children's church. So they wanted to do a gospel timeline. So here we are. So, Andrew, how did this all start?
In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. When there was nothing, God decided to create the universe. Genesis 1:1.
Awesome. And so what happened, Delilah, after that?
Men sinned.
What did he do?
The serpent tricked Eve to eat the fruit off the tree and sinned. And Eve picked two fruits and gave one to Adam, and they ate the fruit. After they ate the fruit, God came and told them to leave the garden. Genesis 3.
And Britta, how did God fix this mess?
Jesus was born of a virgin through the Holy Spirit. He came into the world so that he could save us from our sins. Matthew 1:18-1:24.
And how did Jesus fix it, Britta?
Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. Matthew 27:31.
And so, Andrew, what do we have to do next?
We all make a decision to follow Christ. We have to make a decision to answer A or B. A is in belief. B is don't believe.
And Andrew, is it okay if our parents believe and our grandparents? Isn't that good enough?
No.
What do we have to do?
A is I believe.
Or?
B is I don't believe.
Very good. And that's our timeline.
Second warm up.
And yeah, we need to see a minute to set up.
That's on, you know, it's on, it's it cool down. So while we wait for Trailblazers, we had about 6 to 7 children come with us. But one touching moment that I found the most, we went one time to the light was at the, we took the van to,
the bowling.
No, not bowling. Mini-golf and laser tag. And we had a great day. The kids had a lot of fun. And we're all in the van. We're getting ready to leave. And it was like, kind of like, does anybody want to pray? And, you know, and these kids just gave the most beautiful prayers. I mean, I think almost all of them did, except for one, maybe. And they just were so thankful to God, thankful to the church. Just so thank you for everything. So, you know, and that touched me. You know what? That one moment, that 3 minutes or 4 minutes, it made everything worthwhile. It made all the Sundays and all the trips and everything else. They were beautiful kids, so and we missed the ones that are here, obviously, too. So, all right. Gotta get back to, all right.
Thank you. just want to thank all the youth leaders for your time and effort that you put into the youth groups each week. Boy, I'm kind of short. Yeah, thank you so much for all that you've done for our kids throughout this past year. It hasn't been easy, and you have really done a tremendous job. So that's just a real blessing. We have a lot of dedicated people in this church, and it really shows. Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Christian education is one of the building blocks of our church. As a body of believers, we recognize the importance of children and their place within the family of God. We have Sunday school for preschoolers all the way to adults. We have confirmation class and youth groups, as we've seen, for kids in kindergarten through grade 12. We value Christian education, and this is biblical. And teaching our children is a theme throughout the scriptures. We are told to teach our children well. In Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says, "Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." Our call to worship this morning is from Deuteronomy 6. Here's just a little background. The Israelites were being told by Moses to love the Lord their God with all their heart, all their soul, and all their strength. The book of Deuteronomy is an especially interesting book because in it, Moses is basically recapping all that he has learned from God and all that he has learned about the people through their entire 40 years of the Exodus from Egypt. At this point in Moses' life, he knows he is close to the end. He also knows that because of his disobedience, he will not be entering the promised land. This was devastating for Moses, but he trusted God and knew that God was just and righteous. Moses knew he was not exempt from the consequences of his disobedience. In light of this, it was imperative to him that he instruct the Israelites in the ways of God and that they never stray from the Lord. His message throughout Deuteronomy is, "Commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed, and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." These truths were the bedrock of their faith. These were the truths under which the Israelites raised their children. It was under these very truths that Jesus himself was raised. Mary and Joseph saw to his spiritual formation, and it was based on these truths. So it should come as no surprise that in three of the four Gospels, Jesus paints a very clear picture of the importance of Christian education, not just for children, but the value of an ongoing relationship with Jesus that lasts a lifetime. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we hear the familiar and beloved words of Jesus saying, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to these." In all three Gospels, the scenario is the same. Parents are bringing their children to Jesus so he could bless them. And in all three Gospels, the disciples are rebuking the parents for bothering Jesus. However, Jesus makes it clear who needs to be rebuked. When he hears his disciples shooing the children away, Jesus, in a decisive moment, sends a clear message to his disciples: don't mess with the kids. And then he makes an even bolder statement. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Jesus uses this encounter as a teaching moment to drive home to his disciples not only the importance, but the necessity of Christian education. Jesus knows that it won't be long, and he will be leaving his fledgling church to a group of ordinary men who just happen to be his disciples. Jesus wants them to understand without a doubt just who needs to hear the message of salvation. And then, as if placing bookends on his message, it is only a few verses later that we read in Matthew, Mark, and Luke the encounter Jesus has with a rich young ruler. Here's a young man who was raised in the church. Perhaps because of circumstances we don't know about, he's having a crisis of faith. We find him seeking out Jesus, who is known as a rabbi, and he engages him in a pretty deep conversation. His first question after addressing Jesus as good teacher is, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Rather than responding right away with an answer, Jesus asks him a question. Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. And then Jesus speaks directly to the education this man undoubtedly had as a young Jewish boy. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. The young man responded, all these I have kept since I was a boy. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. It is at this point in the story that we gain a window into the life of this young man and can see that he has left his religious education behind. He's ventured into the world at large and has become stunted in his faith. His focus in life has shifted from God to money, and Jesus goes directly to the point. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. What an invitation! 12 men had already said yes to the very same invitation. But when the rich young man heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. When asked about Jesus and the rich young ruler, Christian author Tony Campolo said, Jesus knew that if the young man spent any time with the poor and disenfranchised, that he would be transformed, that his faith would be renewed and transformed like the other disciples. By telling the story of the rich young ruler, Jesus drives the point home that this young man surely learned years ago. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. By looking at these two stories, not as separate stories, but as a continuous whole, we see a very persuasive case for lifelong Christian education. Jesus is basically saying, teach your children about salvation and how much I love them. Keep teaching them so that as they grow, those words from Proverbs will ring true. In the most simplistic of terms, Jesus is saying, keep it going. I'm reminded of a commercial I've seen on TV countless times. I'm sure you've seen it as well. I don't remember the product. It's some kind of a medicine, probably to help with your joints. But I remember clearly the message. A body in motion stays in motion. A body at rest stays at rest. And so it is with our Christian faith. We need to keep it going, keep learning, keep trusting, keep growing in our faith. Parents and teachers, we are in partnership with one another. Our Sunday school teachers are very important in that each week they are instructing our kids in the word of the Lord. And likewise, we as parents need to be faithfully bringing our kids to church and reinforcing at home what they have learned in Sunday school. This is a very important assignment, straight from both the Old and New Testaments. Teach your children well. We are blessed to have countless resources for teaching God's word. And as Ruth Hopkins can testify, sometimes we have too many options, and it can become overwhelming to choose the best Sunday school curriculum. And I want you to know that Ruth has spent countless hours going over curriculum for the Sunday school for the fall, and she's done a tremendous job. And I just want to thank you, Ruth. A little shout out to you. What a blessing it is to have resources available, and we are blessed to have loving and committed teachers who are pouring into our kids' lives each week. And teachers, don't become disillusioned if you are worried that your students aren't getting every biblical truth you are trying to teach them. Years ago, Swiss theologian Karl Barth was visiting the United States at the beginning of the 20th century. He was lecturing at various universities and seminaries. During a question and answer time, a student asked him if he could summarize his theology in a single sentence. After a moment, he said, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." That's the message we need to be sharing and living each and every day. Before I close, I have a short story I would just like to share with you. It's a story that I first heard when we ran the Alpha course. It may be familiar to some of you, but I think it's really important, and so I'd like to share it again. Nikki Gumbel, who was the head of Alpha, is the one who told the story, and so that I wouldn't miss anything, I transcribed it directly from what he said. And he's British, and he might speak a little differently than we do. I don't have the accent, but I'm going to read it anyway. "I heard about a man in World War II who was dying, and his friend came over to him and said, 'Is there anything I can do for you?' And the man said, 'No, there's nothing you can do for me. I know I'm dying.' So his friend said, 'Is there any message I can take when I go back to England?' And the man said, 'Yes. Please take this message to this man at this address.' And this is the message. He said, 'Tell him that what he taught me as a child in Sunday school is helping me in my dying moments.' So when his friend got back to England, he went to that man at that address, and he told him that what he had taught that soldier as a child helped that man to die. And the man said, 'God, forgive me. I gave up teaching Sunday school years ago because I thought that what I was doing was having no effect.' Whenever you tell people about Jesus, it has an effect, because the gospel is the power of God. Amen."
Shared with them that it here.
Dreamed I went to heaven, you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold, beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, and someone called your name. We turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, "Friend, you may not know me now." And then he said, "But wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart.
Thank you for giving to Thank you.